Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Phil? Phil Connors? Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
How you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson! Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head, come on, buddy, Case Western High! Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing! Again! Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing! So did you turn pro with that belly button thing, Ned, or
no? Phil, I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right? Right.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to.
See. Hey, that's all right. I'll walk with you.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that funny? Isn't that good? That's Stephen Tobolowsky, who is Ned in Groundhog Day, along with Rick Belairs. So we'll talk to them both now. I want to start with you, Stephen, just because we just heard your voice there. That is, do you have as much fun listening back to that as we do?
Oh, it's one of those things that brings you back with every sense of your body. It was so cold when we shot that. It was really freezing, and it was first up in the morning. It was 6:30 in the morning when we started shooting that, and I was terrified. So when I hear those dulcet tones of me screaming across the road, "Oh, Bill," it all comes back to me in that morning at Woodstock. Huh.
Well, when you saw that script, did you see all the opportunity there that you were able to take advantage of? I mean, did that just look like, just that passage alone, did you think, this is why I'm an actor? I'm going to so... No?
Well, you never know. When you're working on a movie, you never know if it's going to be good or bad, even when you're shooting it. And Groundhog was certainly one of those. Because... as it turned out, when we were shooting that, Harold Ramis did not know what the day of the movie would be, because it's Groundhog Day. It has to be repeated, which means meteorologically it has to be the same day. And we were shooting outside of Chicago in the winter. And so, you know, you got everything. And we had snow, we had sleet, we had hail, we had gloom, we had sun. And so Harold Ramis took Bill and I and said, you don't have a schedule anymore. Whenever the weather changes, oh, we'll come back and shoot this scene in every weather condition. And so I remember Bill and I were running, and I think it was the chaos of it all. Living through it, it was chaos. But kind of guerrilla theater sometimes could turn out to be the best. And for Groundhog Day, it really turned out as good as it possibly could be.
No kidding. But are you also saying then that you shot that scene, for instance, in different weather conditions so that there would not be a continuity problem?
Absolutely. And wow. And so at the end, and not only that, in the script, if you recall, there's several meetings of Bill on the street, and they kind of get shorter and shorter, a little different. That first scene is the longest, but there's one where Bill just runs through with me chasing him. So we had about five of those scenes in the script, and we shot each one of those in different weather conditions. And at the end, Harold Ramis had the choice, and he said, I want the gloomy day to be the day when Ned and Bill meet, Phil Connors meet, and then at the end of the movie when snow starts to fall as to when time starts again. So it was crazy. But you never knew it was going to turn out to be that good. And it did turn out to be just a wonderful movie.
You were in over 200 movies and TV shows and are still working all of the time. I was looking at your IMDb. do I correctly see Thelma Louise, Basic Instinct, Memento, Adaptation, all of those? You've appeared in all of those films, right?
Well, I was in all those films, but like in Adaptation, they cut me out. They cut me out completely. Now, again, you don't know, was it me or was it the fact that they didn't have permits to shoot where we were shooting and a police helicopter was hovering overhead the entire time?
Really?
And so the sound was completely, but, you know, I did get to meet Meryl Streep, and she had to shoot me in the back of the head. And there's no better way to meet someone than having them, giving them a gun with blanks in it and trusting them to not shoot you in the back of the head. It's a trust exercise.
Well, you say that in light of what's happened of late now. I wonder, looking back at your career, how none of us ever thought about the safety of guns on movie sets.
Right. And when I did, I shot in South Carolina, and I at the Caralco Studios there on the very set where Brandon Lee was just killed. And he was killed by, as I recall, a blank. You know, a blank is not something that's harmless.
Yeah.
It fires, too. And what happened was the armorer, the person who handled the guns, left, and the prop man was there and didn't know the right gun to hand to them.
So
the whole Brandon Lee thing changed the landscape of how people handle weapons on the set. And, you know, certainly in Rust, there were problems. The armorer had to have checked that gun. You know, I'm given guns a lot. I've been fired. People fire guns at me, and I fire guns a lot. And it's never really the actor who says, like, well, let me check this gun. They
right.
have a professional who comes in, shows the entire cast, this is empty. You see, this gun is empty. And for whatever reason on Rust, that procedure didn't quite happen. And it's always tragic. There's so many possibilities of tragedy happening on a set, not just with guns on the set, but any kind of special effects is so dangerous. And it's a dangerous profession.
Evidently.
As we've seen, it could be horribly tragic. Horribly tragic.
Stephen Tobolowsky is on a phone line who has been generous with his time and enthusiasm for the movie Groundhog Day and what it means to Chicago's Woodstock, Illinois. We're visiting with Stephen Tobolowsky, who is Ned in Groundhog Day, and with Groundhog Day being Thursday, who better to talk to than the Groundhog Day's committee chairman, and that is Rick Bellairs in Woodstock, Illinois. Rick, what are you guys going to do this year? What's it going to be like for the 30-year anniversary of the movie? How many years have you all been doing this up there anyway?
It started almost right away. So the movie was filmed in 92. It came out in 93. So this is the 30th anniversary of the release of the movie. And there were a couple of local business people in 94 who crossed paths on Groundhog Day and said, we should be doing something.
Uh-huh.
And so the first gathering was officially in 1995, and it was a handful of people. And it's grown ever since. And this year we'll have a couple thousand people in attendance in the park in the town square.
I would think that they would have made the movie in the town where it's known for Groundhog Day, but no, it's the other way around. You said, well, if they're going to make a movie about it, we'll dive in, huh?
So the story is, and Bob Hudgens will be back with us again this year, leading the walking tour around town to see some of the sites. You can step in the puddle where Bill Murray stepped over and over again, take a tour of the bed and breakfast. But the story that Bob Hudgens tells is that Harold Ramis and Bill Murray, both being from Chicago, wanted to work closer to home. They had been looking all over the Midwest for towns to film it in. And when they pulled up on the Woodstock Square, Harold Ramis went up in the bell tower of the Woodstock Opera House, looked down and said, this'll do, make it happen. And the movie came.
Yeah. So then when do you check to see if the groundhog sees his shadow?
So the main event is the prognostication with our live groundhog, Woodstock Willie. That's at 7 o'clock Thursday morning. It's a free event, but don't forget your booties because it's cold out there. You'll be standing in the snow in the park in the town square. that's the main event. But other things throughout the weekend, we have the movie on the big screen in the Woodstock Theater. We tie into places around town that you see in the movie. You can go to the dinner dance at the Woodstock Moose. That's where they filmed the Bachelor Auction. As I said, you can take tours of the bed and breakfast. You can go bowling in the bowling alley where Bill drinks with his friends, debating whether his glass is half full or half empty. A special event for the 30th anniversary. We're really happy to have Danny Rubin coming back. Danny wrote the original story for Groundhog Day, worked with Harold Ramis creating the script, and then years later worked with Tim Minchin to turn Groundhog Day into a Broadway musical. Danny was here in 2014, and we're happy to have him coming back. At 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, Groundhog Day, he'll be telling stories about, you know, where the idea came from, how many days there were in Groundhog Day, what it was like working with Harold Ramis on the movie and all. So that's free in the Woodstock Opera House at 2 on Thursday. So we're happy to have Danny coming back.
Is the cafe still in existence, or was it actually a cafe where a lot of the scenes were shot?
It was an empty shell of a building. Back in 92, things weren't very robust around town. There were lots of empty buildings. That was one of them. And so Hollywood turned that into a diner. It is now a lovely Mexican restaurant right now. So you can go in and sit at the table where Bill Murray stuffed his face with danishes, but you'll have to have tacos or burritos today. You know, you were talking about that scene with Stephen Tobolowsky and Bill Murray, the Bing. They came back, Stephen and Bill Murray came back to town a few years ago. In 2019, the Super Bowl was on Groundhog Day, and an advertising agency had the brilliant idea of having a Groundhog Day commercial in the Super Bowl on Groundhog Day. So Stephen and Bill Murray were here recreating the scene almost 30 years later. It was so much fun having them back.
I think I remember that, Stephen. I think Stephen's still on the line. Are you still there, Stephen?
I'm still here, like smiling ear to ear, listening to Rick tell the story. The thing about that commercial that was so nuts, Rick, is that, you know, I've been back for Groundhog Day whenever I'm not working here. It's fun to go back, and I go back with my wife, and we go to the town square, and we have all that great time and kind of relive it walking through there. But when Bill and I did that commercial, the Toyota – now, Rick, you know all the background of this. The ad company had all the people on the town square change the front of their stores to look exactly like it was in the movie. Because, of course, in 30 years, new people move in, other people, they change the, you know, what their windows and their awnings and their signs look like. But they went and recreated what it looked like back when we shot this thing. And it was like going in a time machine when we shot that Toyota, the Jeep commercial. It was a Jeep commercial. It was like crazy being back there.
So then what was the bit then? Was it like, was he still bugging Bill Murray's character to get insurance or something? I seem to recall this, but I don't remember how the ad played out.
That was the biggest joke of all. Like, Bill and I, we met that night before we were going to shoot the commercial. And we went, and Bill was saying, "Stephen, what do you remember about the first day of the shoot?" And Bill and I were having this little commiseration thing the night before. We show up to shoot the Jeep commercial, and the director came up and said, "Okay, guys, now what I want you to do is, Stephen, just cross the street and do the scene like you did with Bill before." And Bill and I looked at each other, and I said, "What? You mean there's lines? we haven't done this scene in 30 years. You know, we don't remember what this scene was." And the director kind of looked at us as if somehow we had this encyclopedic knowledge of what we did 20 some odd years ago. And he said, "Oh, well, just make something up." And so here we are doing this big commercial. And I remember, Rick, an ice storm had just come in.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't as easy. Now, when we shot Groundhog Day, the movie, it was freezing. It was like some army experiment. It was so cold. Everybody had warmers in their boots, in their pockets, everything to keep from freezing to death. Bill was not a happy camper, having to step in that water. He was not. But they had an ice storm before we did the Jeep commercial. And so I couldn't walk on the street because I'm wearing hard-soled shoes.
Right.
And the director had these mountain-climbing cleats, happened to have them in his bag, these cleats that you strap onto your shoes,
sure,
which I had never worn in my life. And so I tried to do the scene running on ice with metal cleats on my shoes. It was a life and death moment for me.
It's funny to me because I think most people, you know, that scene is iconic enough, I think, that a lot of people could do those lines. If you said line, half the town could probably give it to you. I would imagine that would be in your hard drive, your biological hard drive, but no, huh?
John, it's not even the people in town. It's people from across the country come to Groundhog Day in Woodstock, and they compete in the trivia contest. And these people are such geeky groupies that yes, they could repeat the lines from the movie for you.
I'm out of time, guys.
I was doing a movie in New Mexico, and some kids knocked on my trailer and said, Mr. Kapalowski, can we show you something? I go, sure. I came out, and they did the whole scene from Groundhog.
That's what I'm talking about. It's listen, I'll talk to you anytime, any way you're working. If you're ever through Chicago again, please come into our studio, Stephen. It's a pleasure. Thanks for making that movie as much fun as it was. And Rick, Thursday's the day, right?
That's right. WoodstockGroundhog.org has the schedule. John, thanks very much. Stephen, happy Groundhog Day.
And happy to you too, Rick.
Isn't he two good guys there? And it's nice to hear somebody from Hollywood with that sort of fun and generous attitude. That's Stephen Tobolowsky and Rick Belairs, who is the chairman in Woodstock of the Woodstock Days Committee.
And put your
okay, campers, rise and shine. It's Groundhog Day. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
Phil? Hey, Phil?
No, not you.
It's me, man, Ryerson.
Okay, little fella, good job.
It gets very visual, but that's the remake of the ad that the guys were referring to.